Welcome to another edition of the Marketing Meets Technology podcast. With me, I have Stephen from Taiwan. So this is going to be a very interesting session about how digital marketing is in Taiwan compared to the US, to Germany, because he actually grew up in the US and has been spending the last 20 years though in Taiwan building up his agency in the space of digital marketing and building websites. So this is going to be interesting to see how much difference is there in Google in all the marketing channels and what we can learn from that, and if the world is a really global place or if there's still regional differences. So let's go.
Willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Marketing Meets Technology. Hier hörst du Insights zu Digital Marketing Strategien und Technologien. Viel Spaß bei dieser Folge.
So I'm here with Stephen Chow from Ferrani, and he's actually from Taiwan. So this is super special that we have him here in Europe, and we get to talk about how the Taiwan industry is, you know, in the creative world, in the SEO world, in the whole digital marketing world. And so I'm really excited to have you here because, I mean, we're in Poland right now, and you're far away normally. So it's a great honor to have you here in Europe.
Thank you. Thanks to the whole bunch for having me. It was like a 28 hour flight with like a layover and stuff. So, man,
it's been a long flight. Yeah,
it's tough.
So you started with a creative agency, you told me.
Yeah.
And you guys started building websites in Taiwan, right?
That's right.
So tell me a bit about how, and you've seen the US market as well, I guess.
Right.
At least in parts. How does it differ between the US and the Taiwanese market?
Okay. So let's put it into like an SEO point of view. Yeah. With like market wise, kind of like that, and websites, I would say it's 10 times, if not 15, 20 times easier for a Chinese website to rank in Taiwan.
In Chinese language or English language?
Oh, in Chinese. Okay. Yeah. So if the character is in traditional Chinese, it's easy.
What is the predominant language in Taiwan? Is it Chinese?
It's Chinese. So there's a little difference between Taiwan Chinese and then China Chinese. There's the traditional Chinese, and then mainland China uses the simplified Chinese. Yeah.
Okay. And so what search engine do you guys use? Do you use Baidu or do you use Google?
We use Google.
Okay.
We use
Google. Interesting.
Yeah. So China uses Baidu, and then we use Google.
So Taiwan isn't behind the Chinese wall, so that's why you can use the Google algorithm and you can optimize Chinese language for the normal Google search.
You said it right on the spot. Yeah.
Okay,
that's we can use Baidu, we can use anything, pretty much everything, like you know, there's little ones called the Red Book. We can use that. TikTok, obviously the whole world has it pretty much, I guess, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And then there's other platforms like in China we could get access to.
How big is the importance of TikTok in Taiwanese culture?
Okay. So I would say about anywhere in the ballpark between 13 years old up to, well, currently like 2025, it's probably like 25 years old.
Okay, interesting.
Uses TikTok.
And do you know if it's the Chinese content or the English content? Because there seems to be a big difference between what the Chinese TikTok shows and the English or the US version shows.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we don't get a whole lot with like English content unless we search it or in some cases, the preferences. If we constantly just viewing English content, then it'll prefer giving you out the English content by algorithm, of course, something like that. But if you keep on just scrolling with Chinese content, it's always going to be Chinese.
Okay.
Yeah. And then an interesting fact though, not only you're going to see Taiwan Chinese video content on TikTok, you're also going to see China video content.
So it's really mainland China.
Yeah. You can see both.
Does it connect your cultures more than it did before? Just it's an interesting question. I mean, I know that Taiwan and China are a bit separated, not entirely.
In a way, but then if I have to put it into like where it's kind of like influences.
Yeah.
Taiwan's a little bit influenced by China with TikTok, you know, presence.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
No, it's very, very interesting to see because obviously like if you look at Western culture, like the European Union, we are heavily influenced by the US culture, right? Through movies and for many, many years, and now obviously through Instagram, YouTube and everything.
Exactly.
So it's just interesting to see.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the topic of websites and
traffic. Cool. All right.
Because I know your expertise absolutely in websites and digital marketing. And you started off creating websites for the Taiwanese market.
Yeah.
And then tell me what happened.
All right. So we found out that I would say 60 to 70% of them are not doing marketing. They're not doing SEO. They're not even running paid ads. And then they came to me saying, hey, Steven, like, why can't I find my website on like Google with the specific keyword? I was like, you're not even doing SEO. You're not even doing marketing. Like, no one's going to magically know your website URL on top of their head thinking about buying stuff. No one's going to know about it. If you don't put your content out, if you don't put the, you know, your stuff out and then promote your business, then no one's going to know about it.
Yeah.
And then we thought, okay, so it's probably time for us to go ahead and just kind of scale up a little bit. So we went from like a 3-man team, and then we just scale it up to like 8-man.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so the customers or your clients, do they understand what digital marketing is? Do they understand what SEO is? Or how far is the market developed? All
right. So I would say out of the 10 people, you're probably going to get about 3 that's fairly educated on SEO.
Okay.
Fairly educated. And when I say fairly, we're putting words into like, I know what SEO is. I know kind of like the whole mentality works behind like, oh, I got to put out content. Mm-hmm. I got to have keywords on the website. And that's like the basic ones.
Yeah.
But then they're not going to know too much about off-page.
Mm-hmm.
Because what really kicks in is actually the off-page,
yeah, of course,
right? It's what the juices are, the traffics yeah. are, you know, everything that's magically happened in the internet world is off-page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's very interesting. So what traffic source do you think is like the most important in Taiwan?
I mean, I would say everything is pretty important nowadays, especially when the new like Google algorithm kicks in, not only affect the SEO, but you know, PPC ads helps. But I mean, in the end, SEO is everything. Mm-hmm. SEO itself is not just for like search engine optimization.
Yeah.
It's also for, you know, every pieces of marketing things, like piecing it together that cause your website to rank higher.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. So you still gotta do everything. But then I would say SEO is still kind of like the main thing that I would focus on with my clients,
mm-hmm.
just because, I mean, the fact that no one wants to get sales on, right?
Yeah.
No one, I mean, to rephrase it, no one wants to get sold on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to find their sale themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
Is Facebook ads big or Instagram ads? Is that a big topic?
I mean, it is. It mm-hmm. is. So fun fact is in Taiwan, we are our highest ticket for like, okay, so when I do like real estate advertisement for those I would say agencies, real estate agencies, Facebook makes a crucial role.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
interesting.
The most highest ticket buyer are in Facebook for Taiwan. Yeah
I mean, it makes sense. The age group that uses Facebook is the one that does have the money,
exactly,
compared to
yes.
other groups. Very, very interesting. Yeah.
So
your market doesn't differ from the Western markets that much at all.
I mean, I would say the whole world's kind of the same,
mm-hmm.
but you know, like age groups, etc.
Yeah.
But just yeah, it's everything is easier.
Yeah.
If it, on an English website, if I want to rank on, let's say, in the US, I probably need like for like a brand new website, probably need like 100 backlinks.
Yeah.
And you can't do it like all at once. You got to do it like kind of like baby steps.
Yeah.
But in Taiwan, you probably only need like 20
okay.
or like 10. And then all of a sudden you'll be like, oh, okay. I'm actually on the first page already, you know.
Have you had any really, you know, successes you can share from customers you helped where the website had no traffic and then you did some SEO and it really exploded?
Oh, yeah, sure. So one of them is what we call parallel furniture
yep.
kind of thing. So we don't make any great designer furnitures in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
All the crazy one, the well-branded design furnitures, they came from like Italy, France, the US. Like, for example, the US would be like Herman Miller,
yes,
etc. Exactly. So Vitron, we did that.
Like, yeah.
So it's like parallel shipping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the client goes to other countries. And then they'll start shipping in or buying stuff in. It's kind of like drop shipping in a way.
Yeah.
That's like high ticket kind of thing. So we did that for them, and we went from 5 clicks a month, 28 days in like GSC, to about 2,000.
Wow, that's a big difference.
Yeah, a month.
Just with SEO.
We're not doing anything else. I mean, if you want to scale it bigger, of course, but then there's only so much like people trying to get the higher ticket one. So that'll be like, so far they're satisfied. And yeah, it's that. Yeah. And it only took like 8 months.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still takes time to get the
rankings. It still takes time. Yeah.
It works. So how do you compensate the part, or how do you set the expectations for the clients explaining that SEO does take some time?
Ooh, that's a tricky part though.
Exactly. It's a tricky part.
Everyone's a little different, I guess. If they can't understand the fact that SEO takes time, I would say, well, here's a PPC that we do. You could, you know, use our campaign to get more exposure, to get more clicks on the PPC ads, or you could go to somebody else. Because if you want something fast, you can't do it with SEO. Yeah. Unless you have some like fundamentally basics that's already implemented, you know, for like years. For example, like domain age, kind of like
absolutely
thing. Right, because that in certain way that still help, right? Yeah. So yeah, but if they can't get, you know, SEO takes time, then it's probably not the right fit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good observation, obviously.
Yeah.
That's hard to set the expectations right, because they obviously all clients want to have things happening, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the least thing we want to do is like, oh, a month into SEO, and they'll be like, hey, how come there's no traffic?
Exactly.
You know, and then you'll be mind blowing, like, oh man, what?
Do you guys use analytics to track, like measure like who's visiting from where outside of Google Search Console?
Yeah, we do. So another thing that we do is, what's that thing called on top? I can't think of it on top of my head. It's called...
Another tracking solution?
Yeah, with like heat maps and then video recordings.
Oh yeah, of course. There's the Crazy Egg one. Or Hotjar.
Hotjar, there you go. Yeah.
Exactly.
So yeah, that also helps, because in a UX kind of standpoint, it also helps SEO. Because the lower the bounce rates are, and then the more interactions, more clicks in the website. Yeah.
Do you have any data law restrictions that you can't use any analytics, or you have to ask for permission first, like
US and Germany? It's different. It's different. So we don't have those cookie policies like what Europeans or the Americans have.
Yeah.
It's much simpler.
Nice.
It's not required. But unless you're doing business, you know, outside of Taiwan,
of
we got to check the policies as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, one question that would interest me is, it's probably the same as it's the same everywhere, but how dominant is desktop versus mobile traffic?
Ooh. Mobile traffic.
Yeah.
So it's still like the...
Okay. It's the same everywhere.
Yeah. Then. Yeah.
Okay. How do you see the future with AI search happening?
Mind-blowing. I don't know. Just got to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure if you said it or somebody else has said it. Or is it Craig? Well... And just kind of like knocked me out. I was like, okay, after listening. And then the word goes like, okay, when it comes to AI, everybody's a noob.
Yeah, that's true. That was Craig probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's so right. Like everybody's a beginner when we're talking about AI, because it's so new. That's why I said in my presentation, I said, we are so lucky that we're allowed to work in this area so early.
Exactly.
And that it's probably going to be the biggest chance of our lifetime to be able to, you know, embrace this technology so early, even though it's just content, right? Everybody else is going to do other stuff with it. But understanding the technology this early makes a huge difference to be able to use its full capability and understand its limitations later on.
And that's the fun part too.
Yeah.
You know, we get to experience all kinds of things, and then knowing like things first-handed, second-handed, you know, it doesn't matter. But yeah, adapt or...
die.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
No, it is like that. But I think it's a new age that's really interesting. And I think for on your side, like for creating websites, it's going to be very interesting as well, because you can create websites and designs faster with AI than ever before.
Super quick. Yeah. I mean, they don't, when you do it super quick, they might necessarily they might not pass the technical side on SEO, but yeah, it still helps. It just it saves you a lot of time. That's all. Yeah.
So what is the thing that you're looking most forward to here in Europe? You know, as your next, you're not flying back directly, I think. So what's your next thing here, and what are you looking forward to due to technology in the future?
Sorry, repeat that again.
So yeah,
that was kind of like a long question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, so the first question is, what are you looking forward to as technology, as next step? So,
I mean, I hope everything is like automated.
That's true. That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, if it's automated, everything's automated, then what am I going to do?
You're still... Right. Somebody has to start the process.
Yeah, somebody has to do it, you know, but...
Did you have any really big takeaways already from the conference where we're at?
A whole lot. I'm not sure if I can say this, but I'm a little bit into like black hat stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not really, you know, doing it myself.
Yeah.
But I just want to learn a whole lot more about black hats and stuff. Yeah, because
it's fun, right?
If anything that could be AI, it's probably black hat.
Did you find something really interesting that you can share?
Oh, I mean, okay. So CTR the manipulation.
The German audience loves black hat.
The
German audience loves black hat. So no.
All right. So obviously, like CTR manipulation, it's not new.
Yeah.
There's that. PBNs, it's not new. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I thought of something that's really cool. I learned. It's creating a PBN directory website.
Yeah.
And then cloning it. Mm-hmm. Into like your website, kind of like that.
How would that work? So you create the private block network, and then you create a lot of directories.
Yeah.
And then what would be the next step?
And then you'll probably just go on to like AI, just scrape the datas from your mm-hmm. competitors, etc. Just put it on for them.
Yeah.
And then when they click it, let's say, oh, I want to go to like ABC market, you know, but then my market is ABZ.
Yeah.
All right. So when they search ABC and then solid directories, they're like, oh, okay, I might, you know, visit their website or like call them or you know, doing something with it.
Yeah.
And if you're affiliate with ABZ, once they click ABC, it'll just go redirect to ABZ.
You know what the more interesting part would be? So that is one idea, to redirect them to a different website. Yes.
Yeah.
But the other part would be, if you create the largest directory with the most information about companies, you start changing the information so that they all look, let's put it like a little lower compared to your company.
Right. Because you have full control.
Yes. So at some point, you'd be able to manipulate what the search engine understands from you. And that's what we just heard on the conference with Olaf. So when the AI is searching and grounding and looking at other sources and taking your sources into consideration, then you're always winning and the competitor is not. And that would be considered poisoning the vector database.
Kind of, in a way. It's something new to me, but then it's probably like well-known and you know, from
This is all new. The whole AI stuff is new. I mean, it's been 1 year, maybe 6 months.
Probably, yeah. Man, AI overview. I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah.
Gotta love it, but here it comes, you know, right at your face.
I think that it's if you look at the one box answers that were there before, they already took away a lot of the traffic, and I think the AI is just the next evolution step.
Yeah, there it is. It is. I mean, the thing tricky about it is the algorithm is always constantly changing for AI. Yeah. It's not like Google saying things. I'll make sure that doesn't happen, but then at the end, Google's not doing anything about it.
Exactly.
Right. And this is like a tragedy that we've seen in the SEO industries for the past like 20 years. Never been seen.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that big, that huge has been, you know, ever hit.
True.
Yeah. And on Google, not Google, but SEOs in terms.
That would be one interesting question as well. So, in Taiwan, you basically, Google is the dominant search engine, right?
Yeah.
There is no second, like, what are the smaller search engines? There must be smaller ones. Or is there any?
I mean, second, if you put second, then does YouTube count?
Yeah, YouTube
kind
counts.
Kind of, right? It's still a search engine at the end of the day. It's then just it's video.
Like, then it's like it's everywhere.
Yeah, and then third would probably Instagram. If that's the search engine, but it's more like
that's
social
the worst
media.
Search engine, by the way. That search does not work.
Yeah, but Taiwan loves Instagram. Because really? The dominant age for Instagram in Taiwan is about 20, 25 up to like 40.
Yeah, it's a good age.
So it still has some buying power over, but it's not like Facebook where majority of Facebook users are like 40 plus, like 35 plus, kind of like that. Yeah.
In Taiwan, does everybody have a credit card like everywhere else?
So most of them.
Is that's the main payment source? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always the interesting question. So Germans didn't have credit cards for a very long time. So, I mean,
interesting fact.
They have had it for a long time, but
okay.
It's, I would say credit cards became popular around like 15 years. But before that, having a credit card was rare. And then they had like debit cards, which are totally different.
Oh, okay. Right.
Which did not work on the credit card system, so you couldn't buy online. So, yeah, but that has changed. But it's just interesting to know, but just to understand how these markets work, right? Because
I mean, about the same probably, because we start having like credit cards about like 15, 20 years ago, I think. So it's about the same.
Yeah, when they rolled it out like massively. But it's because with a credit card, you can buy online with everything else. It's much harder.
Yeah.
It's much harder.
And then nowadays, you could actually split the payment with credit cards.
Is that big in Taiwan as well?
Oh, huge. Okay. Huge. If you don't have any split payments, then you're probably missing out a little bit here and there. You're missing traffic. So you're missing conversion, not traffic.
Yeah, buy now, pay later is really big. We followed the trend in 2020, 2021. And I think now it's gotten really like common knowledge to use this. I've seen it in Germany a little bit. I don't see it being used that much.
Okay.
Klarna is using it quite a lot. But in the US, the most dominant thing that came to mind is that most of the Coachella tickets that were sold for the big Coachella concert were paid on credit.
Yes.
That is crazy.
Yes, that is true. I mean, no one really uses cash that much anymore. Mm-hmm. I went back to the US about like 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's May right now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, end of May. So yeah, 5-6 months ago, half a year. 6 months ago, no one's using cash.
Yeah, everybody's just with the...
Yeah, like Apple Pay or what's that app called?
I don't know the name.
I can't recall. Venmo, yeah.
That's gone as but PayPal now or something.
Everyone uses Apple Pay.
Yeah, everybody uses Apple Pay.
I'd say 7 out of 10 people uses iPhone. And then so like Apple Pay is like huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
And split payments is just interesting because that also shows that all this, the disposable income didn't go up, but the rate of spending cash online and everywhere has gone up, and they spread it over the split payments, which obviously is, it generates more revenue for the companies, but the consumer doesn't have more money to spend.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one thing or another, eventually it's going to break.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it, but, it's probably going to break.
So what's your plans for traveling? So you're in Poland right now.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for traveling around Europe, or are you going back to Taiwan, or what's the plan?
So I'm actually going to Krakow tomorrow morning, and then I'm going to have like a night over at Krakow until Sunday and leaving back to Taiwan.
Okay.
But the cool part is, with like 30 hour layover plus flight, the cool part about it is I get to stop by Germany, like Frankfurt airport. It's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah, and then we'll have like 4-hour, 5-hour layover. It gets delayed, I heard.
Sometimes,
yeah. And then flying to like Korea for another layover, 2.5-3.
That's a brutal flight plan.
Yeah, and then just straight back to Taiwan. Well, afterwards.
That's amazing. Amazing that you came all this way. I think you're the participant that traveled the furthest from all the participants here.
I wouldn't say. Probably not, but if not, one of the top five.
So thank you for being on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Where can people find you if they want to reach out just to connect?
Oh, LinkedIn me, Steven Chow, or... just go on Google, type Ferrani. And then you'll find us. Ferrani, we're probably going on the first page. It's branded SEO. Yeah.
Perfect. Amazing. So if you like this podcast, please definitely leave a like, subscribe, and leave some comments. We'd love that. And ask him some questions, connect with Stephen. And we'd love to see you in the next show for sure. So take care.
And don't forget to share.
Yes, don't forget to share. Yes. You're absolutely right.
Das war's für diese Folge von Marketing Meets Technology. Bis zum nächsten Mal.